Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. I also want to bring Christian greetings from the church in Farmington, Missouri. Come and visit us. We are the nicest people you can find. For a message this morning, I hope I don't keep you here too long. For a few verses, let us stand and open our Bibles as Romans chapter 5. I'd like to read first 11 verses. Romans chapter 5, starting verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work in patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received that atonement. You may be seated. For a message title this morning, I chose to talk about reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Reconciliation is a process through which a society moves from a divided past to a shared future. It is a successful reconciliation is both a goal, something to achieve, and it is also a process that means to achieve that goal. It is a subject that every one of us needs to be familiar with and understand its meaning. And being a Christian, reconciliation needs to be a big part of our life and walk with the Lord. It needs to be a daily process through which a Christian should screen his life and keeps himself accountable to God. We cannot go through a narrow gate that leads us to heaven without the process of reconciliation. And there should never be a time when a Christian should rest thinking that he has reached a goal and become successful. Reconciliation is a must in the routine of a daily life, sifting out the things of no value. And as long as you have a beating in your chest and you have a healthy mind, you are accountable unto the Creator. And the process of reconciliation starts in the heart of each one of us, by being convicted by the Holy Spirit and guided by God's power. It will become a lifestyle for a believer to want to be right with God. It is a goal that every Christian should be pressing towards. It is a goal that will bring assurance at the end of the road when our journey is over, and there will be an awaiting prize for the faithful servant. A prize is given only unto the one that is worthy of the accomplished mission. The process consists of rocky trails, quite hard to accomplish. But the one that continues to press towards the goal will win the battle. And the process of reconciliation is about coming into fellowship with God and restoring our relationship with the Creator, to whom we belong and were created to serve. Without reconciliation in the life of a believer, there will never be peace. There will never be happiness. It is about being right with God and being at peace with God. Between the believer and God, there needs to be a mature fellowship where the believer is at the hand of God and ready for God's service. And that fellowship only takes place when there is a willing desire to love God with our whole heart. When there is a deep love, we will become submissive and do all it takes to be accepted by God. And our submission before God will cause us to be obedient and accept His calling in our lives. And God's desire for the mankind is not that any should perish, but that all should reach the goal of winning eternal life. And even though God sent His Son to pay the price for humanity to enter into the kingdom of heaven, the way is not completely free. It's not completely free of carrying responsibilities and burdens. And the Bible tells us that there will always be hardships and trials. The way is not going to always be easy. It's not going to be just milk and honey. But the most important thing is to live for the Lord to the best of our knowledge and to ask God for direction and wisdom in life. And believe me, God works in the believer who lets himself led and controlled by God. If you let yourself in the hand of the Creator to guide you, to instruct you, you'll see how to walk in life and you'll find answers. So let God hold your hand when your knees become shaky and you question your assurance with God. Reconciliation with God is about becoming right with Him. It is about restoring the broken relationship that caused you to depart from God. And often when life is good, people put God aside. When hardships come, they wonder, "Where are you, God, now that I need you?" That God might say, "I'm where you left me when life was good. And you thought you could do life by yourself without searching my advice and direction in life." You know, God is there where we place Him. If we place God in the background, then don't expect God to be beside you only when you want Him and life is rough. When you feel sorry about your mistakes, about your failures, and you look back with regret on your past, and make the promise that you'll be staying faithful and give yourself to God, then you find peace. You find peace with your Father. And this is the effect of a reconciled heart. It is renouncing the old life, the times when you served the earthly flesh and tried to satisfy something that always wanted more But now you look forward for a better future. A future where God is the guide and our goal is to serve Him. When you reconcile with God, you take life in a serious matter. Because there's not such a thing as playing with God. There's not such a thing as today for Christ and tomorrow for the flesh. That is not reconciliation. God is a just God. He's not someone that we play hide and seek with. And we know that the truth will be revealed. We cannot hide our life from the one that is omnipresent and all-knowing. How can we come before God saying, God, you know my heart, that I want to serve you and love you and live for you, when we let ourselves be taken by every small thing that might seem attractive to the desires of our flesh? This is not taking life seriously and being a good steward of our calling. God always knows how honest and truthful we are. And it's very important that we wake up and we realize that this life is not about getting away with whatever we can. We are called to serve God. We are called to serve Him with all our might. And our hearts have to be full in full devotion for Him. And sad to say, that our fire for God is not burning as hot as it should be. And that's because we allow the world to infiltrate into our life. And before we realize it, our lifestyle becomes worldly. I believe that now it is the time to become right with God, to be reconciled with God. And true reconciliation between you and God happens when you realize that you're sinking, that you are without breath, and there is a thirst that only He can quench. And a lot more Christians today need to get back on their feet and to witness about the power that it is being reconciled with God, about the power that God offers in winning the battle, and the assurance that God gives that there is a place in heaven for every soul that wants to accept God's mercy in their life. The true relationship that God has to offer through reconciliation with Him, it is a relationship between a loving Father and a fully submitted, obedient child. When you come before God and say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of your forgiveness. But have mercy on me. And reach out and place your protective hand upon my life and change me. I'm ready to surrender, Lord, and ready to fix that broken relationship. And as long as at the bottom of your heart there is selfishness, if there is rebellion and wanting your way, there will never be room for God to speak to your heart, to change and accept whatever He has in the future for you. Invite Him in your life and restore that broken relationship that your sins kept you from forming. And this process is not only for believers, unbelievers. It may be too often we take it as such. But in reality, we find ourselves asleep. We don't know which direction we want in life, and that's simply because our will goes before God's. We need to look for ways to be in conformity with God's will. We need to restore our fellowship with Him. When we look back when Jesus was in the garden praying, He was pleading with His disciples to go watch and pray so they don't fall into temptation. When He returned, they were asleep. They dozed off. They were so tired that they could not stay in prayer with Him. Are we being found asleep and following Jesus' path and destroying our relationship with our Savior because we are focusing on here and now? We are focusing on what we want, and what we see good and pleasing to us at the moment. And I believe that happens too easily in our lives today. We take in so much information from around us, and it may sound appealing to our ears, and it might tell us that there are better ways, better things than what we are doing. And slowly but surely, it will rob us and take us where we actually don't want to go. I believe we need to be watching for those kind of things because the Bible tells us that the enemy Satan is like a lion around us, roaring and looking for whom he may devour. We need to be watchful because the devil knows he is in a battle. He knows that his days are numbered and he's trying his best to win the souls that one day promised to love God and to be his children. And therefore, Satan is going to do his best and trying to destroy the relationship that you have with your God. In the verses that we read at the beginning, we see the importance that the blood of Jesus has in the life of people today. And the first one talks about being justified by faith. We have peace with God. It is not because of what we are doing, but because of what God did for us. We become clean and righteous before God through the power of His Son being sacrificed in our place. And we experience that peace of mind. And this is not a feeling, but the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Something that stands out. We are no more enemies with God, but we are brought back into the fellowship with Christ. We now have Jesus as our high priest who intercedes for us. And Jesus Christ is not only our Redeemer, but He's also our advocate. By Him we gain access to the Father. And acceptance. And we need to thank God for the possibility for peace in our lives. And the death of Christ and His shed blood affects salvation, but the life of Christ sustains it. Verse 10 talks about, for when we were enemies with God. That's a terrible place to find ourselves in. When men step wrong and went against God's commands, being deceived, the other ways were better, the wrath of God came upon humanity, and life became a disaster. When Jesus says, watch and pray, Jesus said not to be dragged down by another deceiving moment in life. We ought to watch and pray that the devil should not come before us with things that sound good, with things that sound appealing, but behind he awaits to win our soul for him. And God's wrath was upon humanity because they thought they can do better. They can take life in their own hands and have their own opinions and rules for their lifestyle. And God's were not good anymore. Even though we were enemies with God, through the death of his son, we won that relationship that was lost. We often look at this subject as something that God wants us to do, but it is also something that God did himself. He reconciled us unto himself. We did not deserve it because we turned and still turn our back on God at times. But he is such a merciful God that he gives us the possibility to be right with him again. When we seek to enter his presence, he reveals to us those relationships that are broken and prompts us to make them right. We are told to live at peace with our fellow men. Do we do that? Are we doing it because we have to? Or because we want to? Maybe a deeper prayer life will solve a problem that we have with the one person that seems to always bother us. Could it be that the reason that we do not pray is because we know God will reveal to us those people we need to make reconciliation with? Could it be the reason we are never silent before God? Because we are fearful that we will hear God reveal the people we need to make things right with. Don't see God unless you want to make things right with others. When the angel came to Jacob, it was to assure him that before he can be right with God, he has to be right with his own brother. How can you live in peace and harmony with your heavenly Father when you cannot live in peace and love with your human brother or sister? If you have something against your brother, against your sister, it will not only affect your relationship between you and him, but there will be something that will cause the relationship between you and God to stumble. When God reconciled us to himself, he promised us that he will not look back to the wrongs we have done. If we want that reconciliation with God, we need to be willing to reconcile with each other. There are a few verses in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before thy altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. In other words, you cannot buy that relationship between you and God without bringing gifts before the altar of God. Just by coming and worshiping and giving some money to the Lord, singing praise to him, That does not buy your relationship with the brother and sister. You need to stop and take care of the problem. You need to go seek reconciliation between you and him. And you cannot move forward. You're just wasting your gift and time. And God will not look down on it with pleasure. When in your heart there is envy, when in your heart there is bitterness, or whatever it might be, towards that one person. When we keep finding and looking for reason to find fault with that one person, first, the love of God. It is not in us. And second, we are not fulfilling God's law. Reconciliation with our fellow men is command from God. Could it be that the reason your worship is meaningless, your work is ineffective, your prayers are unanswered, is that you have not reconciled with your brother or sister? The reality that we face today, and I believe we have to admit it, that so often we are more worried about what people think of us than how right we are with God. And if our reconciliation is not intentional and does not come from a desirable heart, and it's not only because we have to, then we have missed the point. You reconcile with your fellow man because you want the best for him, for you, and for the relationship between you and God. And if we have to think of a plain example, if you have more than one child at home and between the two of them, a disagreement takes place and one starts to fight the other, soon the offended one starts crying, right? Then you as a parent intervene and want to fix the problem. What do you do? And what you see happening is that parent makes the offender say sorry and fix the problem. And of course, the offender doesn't really want to do it. And the answer you receive is, but I don't want to. Then you as a parent tell them to do it anyway. They don't do it necessarily because they feel like they should, but because they should be obedient to their parents, right? Well, just apply that in life of adults. There's not much difference. We wrong each other. We are supposed to go fix the problem. We don't feel like it at times. But because of obedience that is required from us, and for having a good relationship with the offended party, we have to reconcile with them. And the problem that we face today is exactly the same problem the children are facing. You just don't want to. Restoring a cracked relationship is like mending a broken arm. If your arm is broken, you take the initiative. Sorry about that pronunciation. To get it to a doctor so he can get it set. Put a cast on it so proper healing takes place. Broken relationships, like broken arms, are never mended accidentally. They require purposeful and intentional action. We may try to deny the pain, ignore the split. We may think that time heals the wounds, but it only moves the pain below the surface, where it will affect future relationships. It is so much easier in the life, it's so much easier in the, if the offender goes and apologizes to the offended. But if he doesn't, then the situation becomes more complicated, doesn't it? When you read Matthew 18, verse 15, it seems like even the offended needs to go find a way to reconcile with the offender. Matthew 18, 15 says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." It kind of struck me a little bit, and until now, I didn't not really give it a second thought, where he talks about you and him alone. Do we not really practice this verse? Because it is a lot easier to go around and talk about his or her wrongs with other people. Isn't it true that the closest way to something is a straight line? I think we end up complicating things in this life by going around and around a couple of times and a couple more times instead of choosing the straight line to the offender party and deal with them. Fix your problems and problem of bitterness. Act out of love and wanting to reconcile with them. Could it be that some of our relationships are lived in grinding silence because we are unwilling to take what it takes in beginning the process of reconciliation? The absence of reconciliation robs the church of the power of unity. Reconciliation has to be washed by prayer. When Jacob prayed before God, he might have had some wrong reasons, but he also prayed that he might be spared by his brother. He was afraid of his brother, of his brother's wrath. Prayer makes relationships run smoother. And the reconciliation process is not something easy. Hearts may be suffering and hardened. Emotions are on edge, and feelings have been hurt. And God is the one who needs to soften their hardened hearts and heal the wounds that were experienced. And we believe in the power of prayer. There is no greater power. And through prayer, things can be turned around. Prayer changes hearts. And that's why it is so important to pray. But more importantly, that don't pray if you're not willing to change. And here's a question. What does it take for your heart to soften so the healing in your broken relationship can occur? Reconciliation is a process that requires humility. And as we look deeper in the story of Jacob and Esau, Jacob, the offender, realized that he was wrong. The way he deceived his father is how his father-in-law treated him with deception. And when the morning arrived and the two brothers met each other, Jacob, being at fault, bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. What did the offended one do? He ran to meet his brother, and they embraced each other, and they both wept. It takes humility to come to the end of yourself and recognize that you are wrong. It takes humility to accept the fact that you are guilty of your mistake. It also takes the desire from the offended party to come help in making peace. And the principle behind this is that humility puts us in the position where reconciliation can occur. And a price has to be paid for reconciliation, and that price could be called simply swallowing our pride. It sure is easier when both parties are involved and admit their fault and their desire to repair the damage. What are the steps you need to take that will speak humility to the person you are dealing with? And humility, it is a common theme throughout the Bible. It needs to be practiced. By failing to do so, we allow fractures to happen. And that not only creates relationship problems, but puts us in opposition with God. James 4 says, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. When you're looking for ways to fix relationship, there are times when you have to open your heart to people. By doing that, you're taking some risks. But reconciliation requires you to expose your life to others. When you open your heart to others, you may have your heart broken again. Maybe people will disappoint you once again. And that might cause you to close up that wall that separates relationships. And that happens maybe because you have been hurt so deeply. And you don't want to expose yourself again. But do you want to live that way? Do you want to be separated and locked up and locked up from ever being hurt again and missing out on restored relationships that may bring peace, that may bring love or joy? And in closing, in Genesis chapter 33, verse 10, as Jacob and Esau make peace and forgive each other, the process of reconciliation takes place. And Jacob says, I have seen thy face, as though I have seen the face of God. And Jacob sees forgiveness and acceptance in Esau's face. When we are called to reconcile before God, we are to take Christianity seriously and to assume responsibility. We need to come before God and recognize that our fellowship between Him and us, it is not what it should be. Not that God is changing, but because we are looking for our own way. And Jesus' sacrifice enables us with power of reconciliation. The change that Jesus makes in our lives gives us the power to minister and witness the relationship we have with Him. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Might not read those verses, but from 17 to 21, talk about when we are born again under Christ, we become a new creation. The old is gone. It's time for the new to take effect. And there is power that God can give us. That power comes upon us only if we are open to it. And God entrusted us, and His desire for us is to become the type of Christians that are dedicated to live in peace, to live in harmony with our fellow men. And He pleads with us, and He says, in Christ's name, in Christ's behalf, that we also reconcile and become at peace and fellowship with Him. There is peace that is being restored in our hearts as we reconcile with one another. And there is assurance when we are reconciled with God. And Christians should be in a continual process of reconciliation before God in an open fellowship where God instructs and where God directs. And when forgiveness is extended, the one that has offended us, we become like God. Then you see the face of God that has reconciled with us and has said, you are forgiven. And we often break our relationship with God. We often sin. And God is not obligated to forgive us, but He does. God comes before us like Esau did, and through His Son, He forgives us and does not hold our sins against us. He wants to be our friend. And as God reconciles with us, let us reconcile with each other. Shall we kneel for prayer?